So what's your role at Gelasto? What do you do there?
Titled as chief evangelist, but I like to think of it more as like socializer in chief. So for the most part, everyone that I work with is very, very, very techie. I mean, our CEO is the former director of Russia's rocket laboratories for 15 years. He did the coding for three other satellites. It's all Java.
Is that Dmitry or?
That's Ruslan. Oh. Dmitry's the COO. He actually is the guy that brought the founders together.
So one of the things that I'm always pressed with is people always say to me, Cameron, we need, you know, we want you to write an article about writing Java code in the cloud. We want you to write an article about what you have to do to program in the cloud. And
I think that's looking kind of backwards, right? I mean, I think people, they're confusing cloud as a way, a new way of doing things when it's the way of doing things now. Like, so, you know, I think it was Accenture that put a video out a while back, and they hired like, I say hired, I mean, they had like 15 different kids under the age of 15 on it, or 16, and they just asked them, so what's the cloud to you? And the very last kid says, the cloud's whatever I want, whenever I want it now. He's like, on my phone. You know, and but the same kid before, like, he talks about how he's built a game, you know, he used Google Docs to do the initial coding, and then from there he used Google App Engine to deploy it, and then from there he just took that to Rackspace. This is a kid who has no money, you know, so this whole, like, I'm writing in the cloud, technically half the stuff you do on your laptop's already in the cloud, whether you like it or not. I mean, you're talking about Gmail. Google Docs, that's the cloud. Instagram, Facebook, that's the cloud. Twitter is definitely the cloud. I mean, so saying the cloud, if anything, I think is almost a misnomer now. Because whether you like it or not, it is. So when you say, I'm going to code in the cloud, well, what does that even mean? Like,
right.
Does that mean you don't use the internet?
Okay, so if you're gonna say that, then my question to you would be, is there anything that a developer has to do differently in order to, when their target deployment destination is the cloud? So I'm a developer, my target deployment destination is the cloud. Is there anything that I do differently? And maybe even hit that developer, designer, architect, manager.
Okay. So I guess if you look at the development process, right? Starting at the beginning, after you've done your initial kind of architectural layout and you start doing coding, and as soon as you start doing coding, you implement, you know, continuous integration, right? So the whole idea of you have a code repository and your coders pull from it every day and then push it back so that you're not working on old code. So you're using something like, I don't know, Jenkins or whatever. That is, as soon as you do that, you're already in the cloud, because let's say you use GitHub, right? So your first bits of code, you're pulling them from GitHub or you're putting it into GitHub. That's already in the cloud there. So your code repository itself is technically in the cloud.
Right.
And when you want to go from the development to the testing phase, you're pulling from GitHub to a testing environment. So that's in the cloud as well. And that link is where a lot of people, the traditional method was, okay, so if I want to test it, either I do it in-house, or B, I do it somewhere else. So the traditional method of I do in-house is I have my own server, whatever, set up. I set up an app server, set up a database server, you know, do a console, and then from there I do some testing on it. The other option was I go to some provider and I rent app servers, database servers, I'll link them up. I test, you know, run code again, redeploy, and then from there you go to staging and then deployment, right? The deployment is usually where the traditional method was, okay, we've been doing it in-house, we've been doing in-house, now we're gonna go to a big provider that can offer us tons of resources in case we get customers coming to us. That jump, though, there was issues there, right? So going from your hardware to someone else's hardware, different setup, you no longer have it in-house, so you can't do those tweaks yourself. So unless it's the same, which it never is, you're going to run into a lot of problems. So what should have been done during the testing phase is being done again during the deployment phase. And I think a lot of people realize that, and that's kind of where Google App Engine came in. They're like, okay, you know, we can help you fix this huge, such a gap, I think. And then they did. They were the first ones to provide a platform as a service for deploying applications in the whole development cycle. The issue, though, was it was very custom. There was a massive learning curve. There weren't very many, I don't know if you call them how-tos, but instructions. So, for example, one thing that is still not documented in Google App Engine, but everyone knows about it just because you find out pretty early on, if your application doesn't load into the memory in under a second, it times out, but you just get a white screen. You don't get an error. If you just go to Twitter and people tell you immediately, yeah, you should already know this. You know, this is old. This is 4 years old, but it's still not documented. You know, that shouldn't be an issue. Then Amazon came on, and they made it better. I mean, Amazon has some of the best infrastructure in the world, and they offered Beanstalk, which basically just gave you a bunch of APIs to use to use their resources. The issue again, though, is they use custom databases, so you have to learn how those work. They have a few standard ones that they've kind of tweaked. So depending on if you have a banking app, Amazon doesn't work very well. Just because typically for banking applications, you need tree-style databases. So theirs don't work for that. But you don't know that until you've already started recoding or trying to test it. And then Heroku came along, and they did actually, they're probably the best up until, I mean, they're still really good now. I'm not gonna deny that. They have a huge following, and obviously they have Salesforce behind them, so they have a lot of oomph, you know, a lot of sales guys. And but the issue again with them is still you have custom stuff, big learning curve. You're stuck on Amazon West. Up until a month ago, they didn't have a UI. It was still like .cloud is all command line, which is great, I guess. But the truth is, people want to visualize this. So if you're taking this to a client, for example, this happens a lot of freelancers. Like, okay, this guy's asking for an application. I'm going to show him how it works. Well, if you show your client my environment creation window, which has all these the icons for like Tomcat, Glassfish, MongoDB, CouchDB, MySQL, another one is like a DOS screen, he's going to understand the other one. You know, it's sliders, it's drop-down menus, it's very visual, and it's automated. Whereas the other one, there's once it's set up, you have to confirm it, and then you don't really get anything. There's no feedback. The feedback loop's kind of cut there. So they're great services. They don't do what I think we should be doing, which is what the cloud should do, right, is make everything easier. You shouldn't have to worry about how the backend works. You should worry about what it is that you do.
Do you have any reaction to Heroku at Dreamforce? They announced they're now supporting Java.
I mean, just yes, I guess the sense is that, okay, they were already competition. We didn't see them as if they weren't. They offered more languages than we did because we started off with Java. Mm-hmm. We actually started off with Java because it has more developers than anyone else, and that's what we were, Java guys. Now we're doing PHP, actually, this coming month. But, you know, people were trying to compare us to like CloudBees and .cloud and a few other smaller people, and from the beginning we were saying no. The people we're competing against are the Googles, the Amazons, the Microsofts, the big ones, because that's who we're going after, the people who need to have that whole process facilitated. Not just, okay, you know, I'm testing and deploying. We want to just make the whole thing easy. You shouldn't have to worry about any back-end stuff. It should all be automated. As a developer or an SMB, you should only have to worry about the functionality of your app. You know? So like an SMB can come to us, and if they want to use like that banking software, it's called open source. Cyclos. They want to use Cyclos. They can open an account and have it running within 5 minutes, and then have to worry about it again. You know, from then they can just use the application itself. It's that easy. Of course, if you're a developer, you're a power user, you know, you have all those options. But I just, you know, I think that we're supposed to be making it easier and adding learning curves and things like that when you already have these standards-based things out there, this open-source software, and that people already know. It's counterproductive.
You guys had an announcement, too, yourselves. I think was it this week or last week? About one-click Java hosting for, quote, non-techies?
Yeah, so we've had like four announcements in the last month. So the first one was the PHP announcement. The second was app packaging, basically. So from, let's say, the point of view of an ISV, it would be you can offer your clients one-click hosting. So they, you know, you put our widget on your site, we do the integration for you. You know, your user wants to deploy whatever your example application is. Click, deploys on Elastic, and they're good to go. From the end user side, if you have an application you need to do that way, you just tell us what it is, you upload it, it's deployed. There's very little to it. Putting in your email, and sending you your login details. And that's what we want to make every part of the application deployment process that easy. Either one click, you know, drop down menus, icons. It should be, you know, that easy. But I think the providers are just kind of realizing, okay, we want to offer that. I guess you have this idea like taking people, developers, and they want to do all that stuff. The truth is, developers don't want to worry about servers and resources. I mean, for the most part, we should have already kind of gotten past that. There's standards in place for all that already, you know. So the only part that's different is how your app differs from the next guy's, right? But again, you're using standards things, you know, standard servers, app servers, you know, standard databases. The connections are standardized. So why customize that unless you actually need it? Which for the most part, no one really needs that. I mean, Wells Fargo is using us right now to work on a social gaming app. They're testing it with us right now. And they own all their own, you know, data centers. So that kind of speaks for itself.
Did you get a chance to watch the keynote last night or no?
Yeah.
Did you have any reaction to anything they said? I thought some of the Oracle public cloud stuff sounded a lot like what they talked about last year.
There's been more concrete stuff around the keynotes as well, like from some of the other technical directors on the direction of Java, specifically taking into account scalability. So Java already is, if you want to scale, it's the best language out there for that, for the most part. Especially, I mean, like for example, the guys at Twitter, they start off with Ruby on Rails and Perl. And that was great because it's fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
But once you start scaling to millions of users and, you know, that many requests, stuff starts breaking because it's too hard to handle it. So when you're looking at survivability and just... survivability is a great word, I think. Then Java's great. But now that the fact that they're developing towards that, towards scaling, and I mean, it's definitely an enterprise thing, but I think it applies too. I mean, there's, I forget who said it, but they're making the analogy of HSBC, right? HSBC is the bank that is saying, we're your local bank. They're a global bank,